So good morning. I'd like to extend a big welcome to everybody here and everybody at home. And just while I was preparing for to lead this week, I've been listening to a song, not one that we're going to sing today, but one that's really spoke to me today, this week. And it was, you sang it last week, Waymaker. And it's those two lines that, even when I don't see you, you're working. Even when I don't feel you, you're working. And it's God working in our lives. Even just like, I remember years ago, someone telling me that God's just like the sun. Even when the clouds come and block the sun out, the sun's still there. And God's still there with us in everything that we do. He's always there. Even when we don't feel it or we don't see it, he's faithful and he's always, always with us. And this verse is something, I love the book of Isaiah because it speaks so much wisdom to us in all our situations, in everything that we do. And this verse I've held on to in times where things have been tough, when I've been tired. And the first time I sort of came across it was when I was really struggling at university and didn't know whether to carry on, didn't know whether to give up. And it's Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who have hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and will not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And I think those few verses we can really hold on to, that even when we're feeling weak and even when we don't feel like carrying on, God lifts us up. He picks us up and takes us higher than we can ever think that we can go. So I'm going to hand over to Carol for the notices. Sorry, the lovely Carol.
Yeah, I've not had that title for a while. Good morning, everybody. Very warm welcome on this glorious morning, and not only glorious, but warm as well. So we really do thank God for this lovely weather, don't we? Very warm welcome to those of you who are watching on YouTube as well this morning. And it's lovely to see people coming back after being away for a while. It's great to see you for whatever reason. And we just thank God that we can actually meet here every week. It's as Julie said, we're very fortunate that we are children of God and that we are able to meet and just praise him. And the worship's been brilliant this morning. Thank you. Well, for me, it hasn't. I'm sure it has for everybody. Thank you so much for the brilliant start to the service. So just a few notices for next week. Monday tomorrow, it's the prayer and reflection time via Zoom at 9:30. On Tuesday the 13th, we have the ARC playgroup, and that is at 10 o'clock in the morning and also at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Wednesday the 14th, we have the prayer walk. Jan's just give me a little note with a bit few more details. She's asking that people will pray as people are walking around the area. We're meeting at the top of the Chase at 10 o'clock. We walk along Alton Lane on to Wesley Avenue in that direction. There's 10 roads on the way, so we need quite a few to cover all that, don't we? So if you're able to come, please, please do. And then as we pass the Springwood School, Springwood Academy Primary School. So there's a massive opportunity there to pray for all the staff and the children there. And the Lodge Complex Care Home, which is just a bit further down this road here, and all the businesses that we pass as we try to get as many prayers as possible in the hour that we're out. So please do join us if you're able. Jan's got a map. She's very organised this morning. I'm very impressed. she's done a map, so if you want to have a look at it before you go, just to familiarise yourselves with it, and just, if you're able, please do turn up. And she finishes with a verse of scripture, which I think is very close to her heart on this project, Joshua 1 verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. So that's an amazing promise. So So that's on Wednesday. We have the lunch club on Thursday from 12 until 2. Just to mention that we won't be having a lunch club the week after on the 22nd because we have a funeral here at church, our dear sister Maggie. I'm sure David will be putting the details out in the newsletter newsletter tomorrow, the email, the update. But if anyone wants to know any more details, if you please see Adam, me or David or one of the others leadership, then we'll be able to fill you in. So that is on the 22nd of June. On June the 25th, Sunday, we're having a family service. I'm not going to say any more about it because really I don't know, to be honest. Jerry is still in the planning stages, but just to say it will most likely, I'm sure it will, be a little bit different to what we normally do. So there's something to whet your appetite for a couple of weeks. Just a gentle reminder that the next church members business meeting is on Sunday the 16th of July at 12 o'clock. So if you can, many members can be there as possible, that'd be really good. Website, Facebook page, all regularly updated. There are a few newsletters at the back if anyone wants to take some. And of course, give us a ring if you need anything. Have a good week. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, that was lovely. Worship was awesome. Thank you very much. Let's just pray before I get into the meat of everything. Father God, we thank you for this family here. We pray that you would pour your blessings on us. Pour your Holy Spirit onto us. And use us to your glory. Fill us with love for one another and for the people that we meet as we go out. And help us to overflow with your Spirit. Father God, I place this time into your hands. I pray that it would be not of me, but of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, last week, David started taking us through this little gizmo here, which is our, did we call them values? Core values. We called them core values. And he spoke to us about knowing God. And he said, how do we know God? We know God through prayer, through scripture, through obeying God's commands, and through testimony. Do you know God? Have you taken that step? If you do, fantastic. If not, that's the way to do it. You're already watching us or you're already here. So take a bit of time, say some prayers. They don't have to be anything magical or special words. Just talk to God. Delve into the Bible. Again, you don't have to do anything particular. Just open it up, see what happens. And see if you can get to know him a little bit. I'm talking today about the second and third parts of the circle, growing in Christ and overflowing in life. They're not just pretty sound bites, or at least I really hope they're not. They are three fundamental things that we're yearning for as a church and that are central to our faith. And as a leadership team, like 3 years ago now, we spent a day and we put loads of bits of paper on the floor and we moved them around and we decided what was most important and spent quite a lot of time just working out what was important to us. And we pray that we got it right and we pray that God will continue to lead us on the path that follows his plans for us. And we chose to put it in a circle for two reasons. One, to say that none of these things is more important than the other. That they're all equally important. And the other is to encourage us to keep going round the circle. So you never stop. So I'm going to ask you all to stand up, if you can. I do this with my kids at dancing. So first we're going to put our feet together. We're going to squeeze our thighs together. We're going to hold our course. We're going to bring our shoulders down and stretch our heads up. And then we're going to go back to the beginning and check that our feet are still together and our legs are still holding and our cores are still working and our shoulders are still down and our heads are still up. It is a never-ending circle, and you have to keep checking. So once you feel that you are overflowing in life, you have to go back and check that you still know God. You may sit down. Thank you very much. There you go. You've got to stretch your legs a bit. It's all good. So that's what we thought. Does the Bible say that as well? Well, yes, thankfully it does. I do want to apologise for the bitty nature of the Bible verses that I'm using today. I intend not to take them out of context, but I know when you're using little bits of the Bible to show your point, there is always a risk. So go back, check up on me, read around it, come and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but not today. Okay. In terms of growing in Christ, in Peter's first letter, he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. John, in John 10, Jesus says, I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. And in Psalm 23, David says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. In other words, grow in Christ and overflow with, well, we chose life. You could say love or the Holy Spirit or spiritual gifts, any number of things that we should be overflowing with. So how do we do this? In order to grow, Peter tells us to long for pure spiritual milk. And Hebrews and Corinthians use the same metaphor, that we should look to the basics of the gospel first, that we should spend our time on the Jesus loves us, Jesus went to the cross, Jesus has saved us first. And then move on to the solid food once our powers of discernment have been honed. And the Firestarters course that Rob and Carol and Jan and David went on, that talks also about telling the simple gospel as often as you can, because you never know who's listening to it. And also for those of us who are already in faith, it doesn't do us any harm to be reminded when we're getting into the more complicated things. So, David spoke about the practical things that we can do to know God, and he also gave us this list for the growing in Christ and overflowing in life. And you'll notice that they're very similar things. We pray, we obey, we spend time in fellowship, we discipline ourselves spiritually, we share testimony. So, learn, talk, listen. Read the Bible, attend church, hear the teaching. Talk to God and each other and listen to God and each other. We've spoken regularly about how God speaks to us through the Bible and in our prayer time. And sometimes he will convict us directly of a thing to say or do. Sometimes people have visions. We have friends within our family here who've had visions of Jesus. Sometimes people hear an audible voice. I don't want you to believe that that doesn't happen, because it does. But it is rare. It is not all the time. I wish God would do thunderclap guidance all the time. It would be so wonderful, because we would know what we were doing all the time. Brilliant. He says, go over there. Awesome. But he doesn't, and he knows why that is. We don't. And when it does happen, it is terrifying and wonderful all at once. But all the time, he is speaking to us through the Bible and through other people. And so in Proverbs, we have this. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. It speaks of learning from, talking to, and listening to others. I have to say, I was like, oh, I'll put that one in. I knew that. But the next verse is also actually very beautiful and very useful. It says, whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honoured. So we continue to work. We continue to grow. We tend to our faith, and we make it bear fruit. So, to overflowing. I love that we use this word, not just because it's settled fully in the Bible, but also because of what it entails. We could have said sowing life or giving life, but we didn't. We said overflowing, and that was God, because we didn't really think about it very hard at the time. But actually, as I've thought about it later, it means so much, because in order to overflow, you have to be full to begin with. You can't just decide to do it one day. You need to tend to yourself first before you overflow. And we did a whole series on the fruits of the Spirit recently. And we talked about how fruit is a thing which grows naturally from trees. You don't stick it on the outside. You can't make it. It's a thing that comes because those trees are growing, because they are filled. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit before we can overflow. And I think it also means that actually when things are hard and when you are feeling empty, it's okay to fill yourself up first. It's okay to spend some time on you before that Spirit overflows. But it's really good to not do that with the things of the world. For me it would be eating cake. Maybe a caramel latte. But go to God and he will fill you. So, what are the fruits of the Spirit? What does overflowing with God look like? Well, we know these words really well because we did a whole sermon series on them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So one of the things that we thought about was that actually giving and receiving testimony is really important as part of growing in Christ and overflowing in love. And I'm very grateful to Jan, who has said she will come and speak to us just for a moment.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm going to apologise twofold. One, it should have been somebody else, and they're poorly, so it was me, sorry. And the other one is, you've probably heard this story. It's not a story, it's real. It's happened lots of times, so I do apologise if you're hearing it for the 10th time, but some people might not have heard it anyway. So this is why, or how, I became a Christian. So, giving you some background, we lived in Sheffield all our lives, and for 4 years we moved and we lived in a place called Sherburn in Elmets, which is near Leeds, so that Tim could do his nurse training. So I didn't want to stay there, I wanted to be back where my heart is, in this area. So we moved back and we lived in the house where we are now. So we weren't Christian. Tim was a Methodist, bless him, and or still is, and I didn't have any faith then whatsoever. I'd looked at films, you know, like you do at Easter and at Christmas, and there are films about Jesus, and I was enraptured, you know, about watching them, but declared no faith. So as we came back, a few weeks after, Pat and Fred, who are Tim's auntie and uncle, Pat put a little note through my letterbox on Sunday morning and said, because we had three children then, the three girls, if ever you want to come to church on a Sunday morning, please feel free. We'd love to have you. Now, as I understand it, there were only two other children then, and they'd been praying that the church would get filled with children. So Pat thought, right, put a letter through. We would like to invite you to bring your children. Obviously she called them by name, but you know what I mean. So yes, we started coming to church. Now, I still didn't profess any faith whatsoever. So in my mind, the note that said, and Pat didn't mean to put this, but she put the children, and we'd love to have you at church, meaning everybody. But in my mind, I thought God wanted my children and probably not me, because I'd got nothing to offer. I'd got no faith. So I thought, well, why does God want me at church? No idea, but maybe it'll become clear. So maybe a few months down the line after that, my mother-in-law had died, and she'd left him her Bible, which was a bit dog-eared, and as you can imagine, she'd used it all her life. And I thought, right, while they're at school, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to ask God, what's it all about? I don't believe in anything. What are you trying to tell me? So as I opened the Bible, this is Kath's Bible, Kathleen's Bible, I opened the Bible and a note and a Bible verse fell out of it. There was a Bible verse written on a piece of paper. And on the Bible verse, it gave a Bible verse, so I read, and it said, the very words were, in my version of the Bible, we do not try to trick anyone into believing, but, it was like a whoosh. Nobody's trying to trick me into believing, but it's for God. The Holy Spirit came into my life that day, and I believe I became a Christian that day. A few weeks after, I came to church and somebody prayed with me, and I was became a Christian. It doesn't always happen like that. Obviously, people come and might come from childhood, but that happened for me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. We don't try and trick anyone into believing. And that day I believed that God was with me. So a few years over the ups and downs of my life, one of the worst down moments was I was made homeless many years ago, well before I had Tim and the girls. And there's a point to this story. So I was made homeless. It wasn't anything to do with me. It wasn't my fault. It was circumstances. And I went to the town hall with my suitcase and my son, and I said, I've got nowhere to stay tonight. So that happened. I was about 6 weeks before I got rehoused. So I was rehoused in one of those massive high-rise blocks in Gleedless. I don't know whether you know them, but funnily enough, you can see them. If you go out of this door, you can see them on the horizon over there. That's where I lived. There were three then. There's only two now. So one day I came to church, and getting out of the car, it was a beautiful day, just like it is today, and I saw, never noticed before, these high-rise flats there. And God, an audible voice, said, look, look. So I looked on the horizon, and what could I see but the place where I used to live? So when I was homeless, to where you are now, look how far you've come. But not in mileage, spiritually. Look how far you've come. You were homeless, down, you were so down, and now you've got a life with Jesus. To me, that was amazing. That was God talking to me. To me, why? Why would he talk to me? But he did. So I see it now as, I mean, things have just gone from strength to strength with God. But like Julie said this morning, all the way through, even when I didn't know God, he knew me. He helped me. He strengthened me for everything that was going to come. And looking back, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But you can see how God said, you're not going there, you're going there. And you're not going to work at school anymore, you're going to be a children and families worker at church. And that's what I believe, where I believe now God wants me to be. And we did a study last week, and it said, I can't remember his name, sorry, Rob, but the chap who was speaking said, no matter what your disability, no matter what your age, if you're not dead, God's got something for you. And God had something for me, and still has, I believe, until I can't do it anymore. And even when I can't do it anymore, I will pray. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
Come back, Jan.
Sorry?
Come back. Shall we just pray for Jan in her new role and everything?
Sorry about the water.
It's all right, you're allowed. Father God, I just thank you for Jan. Thank you for all the years that she'd followed you. I thank you for her amazing testimony. And Lord, I just pray that you would make the road ahead of her super clear. You would fill her with your spirit. And Lord, she has such a heart for you. Use her in your mighty name, to your glory. Amen.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you very much. So I have heard that several times before, and that was different and new. So thank you. So as Jan said, we did have somebody else lined up. Glenys was going to speak, and she didn't feel well enough in the end. But she was going to tell us about how she came to know Jesus. And for her, how overflowing with life was very much about her prison fellowship work, that had come very much from God and was a place where she overflowed. Now, what that means is that I've got 5 minutes. So if anybody does have, would like to tell us their testimony of when they found Jesus, or would like to tell us a time when someone else overflowed with the Spirit and it really affected them, or anything like that, please feel free. Hands up. Okay, I'm going to ask again at the end and see if anybody has decided they want to. Okay, thank you so much, Dan. So moving on, we're just going to talk a little bit about kind of the practicality of putting this into practice. Slightly personal question, put your hand up if you'd quite like to lose a few pounds. Well, why haven't you done it? You know how, don't you? I mean, we exercise, we eat less. Yeah? Why haven't we done it? Well, we kid ourselves that we don't have time. I have time to binge watch Rizzoli and Isles as I'm doing my cleaning. If I have time to do that, then I have time to read my Bible and pray. Think back to the last time you lost that bit of weight was annoying you, or if that's not relevant to you, insert anything that you don't do but you know you should. For me, I can do it when the stakes are high, when I'm not prioritizing something else. And that is true of these growing in Christ, overflowing in life disciplines. The truth is that the stakes are high when it comes to this stuff. Whatever word you use to describe it, knowing God, growing in Christ, and overflowing in life are more important than anything else. Jesus knew that. Jesus was willing to go to the cross on our behalf because he understood how high the stakes are. He had the perspective of eternity. And he knew that saving people for eternity is the most important thing. That reconciling God's creation back to him is our highest priority. But sometimes it doesn't feel like it needs to be done right now, does it? So, as always, Jesus said, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at their proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. If we only knew we had a certain amount of time, that today was the last opportunity, wouldn't we tell as many people as we could about Jesus? Wouldn't we go out and shout, Jesus loves you, be saved? Not the deep, difficult stuff. Not that, not the Old Testament. But Jesus loves you, just the way you are. So, we must first make sure that we are full of the Spirit in order to overflow. We should grow in Christ, so that our discernment and understanding matures, so that we know more what God wants us to do. And we should know God as our Father and Creator, should check our posture, top to bottom, and start again. As always, we can look to the Bible for the reassurance. Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So if you're not sure what to do, seek Jesus first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Learn, talk, listen to God and to each other. Read your Bibles. Pray. Keep one another accountable. None of it's new. We hear this every week. Do it. Keep Jesus at the front and the centre of our lives. Remind ourselves not only that it is the most important thing, but also that we have no idea when our deadline is. It could be tomorrow. Jesus could come tomorrow. How cool would that be? Probably not, but he could. I know preachers always say this, but I am talking to myself as well. I have not got this sorted. I have the half a stone to lose, and I don't read my Bible as much as I should. This is a truth. But thankfully, when we do those things, we start a chain reaction. Not only our own salvation, but that of others. We'll grow in faith and in discernment. We'll overflow with love and life of our Lord Jesus Christ into our families, our friendships, and our communities. We don't have to try to do these things, and often when we do, we can come across as a little bit overbearing, possibly a little bit odd. But we do have to obey those little prods that God gives us through his word, through the people we meet, and if we're lucky, through our conscience and overwhelming moments of do this thing now. When you're blessed by those moments, in spite of the fact that you're shaking and sweating a little bit and possibly crying, step out in faith. Do God's work, because this is how we overflow in life and follow God's plan. Shall we pray? Father God, we come trusting in your great mercy, knowing that you will use us as long as we can move, as long as we can think, and as long as we can love. Lord, take us. Fill us with your spirit and use us to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody who would like to add something? Go on, Tina. Come on, there.
It's not a testimony of how I came to know Christ, but I do feel God's asking me to share this with you about, you know, if God tells you to do something, then do it. Just after I became a Christian, which is a long time ago, but I was in, do you know the sex market in Sheffield, or used to be this? No, don't matter. But my daughter and I were walking through the sex market, the old Rag and Tag area, and we're walking up the slope. And as I'm walking up, there's a lady coming down, and I felt God tell me, "I need you to stop her and pray with her." And I thought, "No, I'm not doing that. Absolutely not." And so I passed this lady with my daughter. We went and had a coffee, and I was telling her. So she went, "Mum, you know, the next time, if you feel anything like that, that's absolutely fine. But will you tell me, and then I can go and leave it?" And she is a Christian. So I thought, great. So anyhow, I just dismissed it. I thought, oh. So we're coming back to go to work, and you've guessed it. Who's coming back is this lady. And God very much said, "You've got another chance. Are you going to tell her?" So I thought, oh dear. I mean, it was in the market, all these people. So I said, I stopped this lady and I said, excuse me, this does sound rather silly and stupid, but I feel God wants me to pray with you. And she said, I can't believe that. I prayed this morning that God would tell me he loved me and he knew me. And I can't believe you've come to tell me that. I said, well, it's taken me 2 tries, but I have done it. And we stood in the market and I prayed for her. And that's it. I've never seen her since and I don't know why. But she needed that assurance that God cared for her to tell some stranger walking through Rag and Tag in Sheffield that I'd pray with her. So all I want to say is to encourage Livy that, yes, you know, if you feel God's telling you to do something, however silly it might sound, and the more you get on in growing God, sometimes the harder it becomes because we think we know everything and we think, oh, well, we don't need to step out like that. But we do, because the people out there, particularly our young teenagers, they need our help. They need our saviour. So I'm not taking over, but please, if God speaks to you, if he tells you to do anything, if he says go outside with a flag, then go outside with a flag. He's got a purpose for it this morning. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. That just made me think as well, you almost always never get anything back in the moment, and you mustn't let that discourage you. If God's told you to do a thing, he told you to do a thing, and he knows why. So it's just part of the plan, it's part of the jigsaw, and you do it. It's really hard, but you do it. And it's never, I don't know, anyone ever had it go really disastrously wrong? It hasn't, for me, it's always been accepted. However weird and wonderful it felt, God's been in it. Okay. Right. I'm closing the mic. Anybody else? All right. Julie, would you like to lead us in our last song? Thank you.
It's so important that we do and step out in faith. Really, really important. I could go on and tell you loads and loads of different things about times when David and myself have been really struggling and we've had to step out in the faith. How I ended up as a teacher is stepping out in faith. I ignored God so many times. It was unbelievable. And then in the end, I just went, okay, God, I'll do what you're telling me to do. And never look back. I've had some amazing experience. Children who haven't been able to speak, suddenly they'll be with me for 2 weeks and we've been praying for them and they've spoken. You know, one little boy, very quickly I'll tell you this one little boy, a story about this one little boy who I had in my class, and he was in nursery with my teaching assistant who had tried for 3 years to get this child to talk. We were out about to go home. We heard this very deep, gruff voice from this outside. And I was like, who on earth is that? Went outside. And this little boy is not only talking, but he's giggling and he is messing around with his friend. I didn't dare go and say to him, you need to be quiet, because it had taken us 3 years. And he was going off to a club after school. So I took him to the club where he was nattering 90 to the dozen. And I said to the teacher, just don't stop him. Whatever you do, don't stop him. And his mum couldn't find him at the end of the session. So I said to her, come with me. And she was calling him by his name. And he turned around and he went, I'm here. And she turned around and she went, what? And he went, I'm here, I'm at the bottom of the stairs. And, you know, it was just amazing. Me and my teaching assistant were dancing down the corridor at this little boy who had suddenly started talking. So, you know, God puts us and tells us to do things, you know, and we have to be obedient. We have to step out so that we have these stories to share. And when we share these stories, it does impact on people's lives and other people. So, yes, there's lots and lots of little God instances, not coincidences, God instances. So... Heavenly Father, give us the courage that we need to step out in faith. Be with us in this coming week. Watch over us, take care of us, and give us the strength, for we are weak, and we can only survive with your strength. Allow us times where we can share our testimony with others, that we may speak into their lives, that we may see the church doors opening, not just here, but across our land, and people returning back to you, Lord. That it will no longer be a declining church, but a church that is in growth, a church where you and your Holy Spirit reign, that we may praise and worship you. Now, I'd like us to say these words together that are on the screen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please, if you feel that you would need prayer or that you would like to speak to anybody, if you would want to come and find one of us, there is always somebody who is like to pray and pray with you. And there's tea and coffee.